but Lord knows that I don't wanna be locked.
Yes, we're bringing you the Legal Matters. Today we're going to be talking about naturalization and registration.
I said I don't wanna be.
In short, how to become a British citizen.
But I would rather to be lonely than to live a dirty life.
Today we're going to go deep. By the time we finish this program, I believe that you will get more understanding of the naturalization laws of the UK. As always, we will also bring you the update in terms of immigration and nationality law. Yes, the Supreme Court ruling, or I would say the House of Lords ruling. Or technically, to say the votes at the House of Lords in relation to Brexit.
But I would rather to be lonely than
the triggering of the Article 50 is getting nearer. What will be the implication for UK nationals, EU nationals, and third party nationals, other family members of EU nationals?
What to do?
We also be talking about deportation of refugees after completion of 5 years in the UK as a refugees.
All of those,
the new policy of deporting those who have been recognized as refugees after completion of 5 years.
I didn't believe
the question that everyone is asking within the legal field is whether this policy is in contradiction to the principle of non-refoulement. I.e. the principle under Article 33 of the Refugee Convention, Article 31-33, that you cannot return refugees to the place of persecution.
Don't wanna be lonely.
So if you're a refugee, you've been granted 5 years, you got to be very, very careful.
You
cannot just sit there and say it's just about filling forms. That is what lawyers do. Lawyers just don't fill forms. Lawyers have to know the law.
I'm so fed up. I don't know what to do.
One lady said, you're always talking about how people can get their papers. Why are you not talking about how people can get citizenship? Madam Croydon, today's program is for you. Today we're going to be talking about British citizenship, how to acquire British citizenship. As we know, there are so many ways that individuals can acquire British citizenship, but our interest today, we're going to be talking about those married to British nationals, those married to EU nationals, and those who have acquired indefinite leave through other methods or through other means. Someone will say, what are you talking about? We will do the best that we can. Naturalization is a big area that we will go through stage by stage, point by point, and hopefully we'll be able to break it down so that we know exactly where we're going and what we need to do. So without further ado, without wasting too much time, we're gonna start the program. That was Gregory Isaacs, you know, Front Door. It's a beautiful tune. It's a beautiful tune. I love that tune very, very much. Another one is Confirmed Reservation. That is also a beautiful tune. But today, we're going to be talking about naturalization and also registration as a British citizen. The requirement, who can qualify, what you ought to do to qualify, and what not. That before we go into the main topic, I think we will also perhaps go through the update so that we all know where we are in relation to immigration and nationality law of this country.
I want wanna be with my friends and family. Where the living is much easier for me. Cause in this town I can't take the fight no more. I couldn't take a ride away under this condition. I'm going over to cross River Jordan. Though I may lose, one day I'm gonna win. I'm going to a land where there is no sin. Cause in this town I can't take the fight no more. Can't take the fight no more. Under this condition, I'm going over to cross River Jordan. Though I may lose, one day I'm gonna win. I'm going to a land where there is no sin. Cause in this town I can't take the fight no more. Can't take the fight no more.
Yes, take this opportunity to call your brothers, call your sisters to tune into Fire Life Radio while we bring you the legal matters. Yes, my name is David Darko from Justice and Law Solicitors. Yes, I'll be driving this train until 1 o'clock while we bring you the legal matters. A moment, Sam. Immigration and nationality law in the UK. All the updates, everything that is been cooking this week, we are bringing it to you live, exclusive on Fire Life Radio.
Can't take the fight no more. I'm moving on.
Let's confirm reservation, Gregory Isaacs. I'm going to cross River Jordan. I may lose one day, I'm gonna win. I'm going to a place where there is no sin. Yes, legal matters, let's start the program today. The first area that we will talk about is in terms of refugee and those granted humanitarian protection. What is up? What is happening? As at 10th of March, a few days ago, Home Office made announcement that those people who came to claim asylum in the UK after completion of 5 years, their cases are going to be reviewed. And as we all know, gone are the days that when you claim asylum, you'll be granted refugee status straight away and indirectly indefinite leave to remain in this country on the basis that you are a refugee, or perhaps you need international protection or humanitarian protection. That was the principle, that was the case. And then the law changed. Instead of individual people, refugees, being granted indefinite leave to remain, in fact they were granted 5 years. At the time, it was speculated that a time will come that those individuals who have been granted 5 years, when their 5 years is up, they'll be assessed again. And if they qualify, the Secretary of State or the UK government will then grant them what indefinite leave to remain on the basis of being a refugee. And it appears that the Secretary of State or the Home Office has carried out or carried through what most people thought at the time, that this is going to be the case, i.e. after the completion of the 5 years, the Secretary of State will ensure, the Secretary of State will make sure that those people, they are reassessed again. And if there's a change in their circumstances and perhaps their country of nationality, then there ought to be a room whereby those people can be sent back if their country perhaps is deemed to be safe. That was the fear when there was change in the policy some time back. There was a belief that if you're not going to grant someone a refugee status and to allow the person to stay in this country indefinitely, then it is very clear that at the end of the 5 years, if the circumstances in which the individual finds himself has changed significantly, then there is every possibility that those people could be asked to return home. So as at 10th of March, the new policy, the new Home Office policy guidance states as follows. All those who apply for settlement protection after completing the appropriate probationary period of limited leave will be subject to a safe return review with reference to the country situation at the date the application is considered. It goes on to say those who still need protection at that point will normally qualify for settlement. A Home Office person told the Guardian newspaper that the safe return reviews were introduced in February 2016 and guidance to staff was published 12 months ago on the Home Office website. They went on to say that there has been no change in our policy since 2010. The Home Office have granted settlement to more than 100,000 refugees. However, they have never operated a policy of automatic settlement. This is what the Home Office is telling us, that they have never. But when you look at the policy in place during the 1990s, during the 1980s, even early 2000s, it was either you qualify as a refugee, whereby you be given a refugee status for permanent residency, because once you are recognized as a refugee, you are granted protection. There's been changes in the law. So instead of the protection, then the whole humanitarian protection was introduced, where people were being granted 3 years and 5 years, and each time that is about to expire, then they would then have to make an application for further leave to remain, provided that the country is safe to return to, or the person's circumstances have changed that the person's life is no longer a threat. Based on this, a lot of people have succeeded in getting settlement in this country. But since 2016 and the policy that was introduced tells us that if you've been granted 5 years, you are still not safe, i.e. it does not lead to automatic settlement. Home Office have now come up with safe return reviews policy, whereby after the completion of 5 years, you submit your application to the Home Office for settlement. Home Office will look at your circumstances and also they will look at your country of origin, and then assessment have to be carried out whether your return will breach the Geneva Convention of 1951 relating to the status of refugees. So if you are holding a 5 years visa as a refugee, or you've been granted stay on the basis of humanitarian protection, do not assume, do not think for one moment that is going to be straightforward, that is going to be easy, because it's going to be assessed again. They will look at safe return policy as to whether you'll be safe to be returned back to the country of your origin. If the Secretary of State deem it to be safe, then of course there is every possibility that you could be asked to leave this country. So if you are holding 5 years, do not take it for granted that once you have been granted 5 years, the next step is easy. It's never easy when it comes to immigration and nationality law in this country. Do not think for one moment that is easy thing to do. It is not easy, and therefore you ought to exercise a bit of caution. You cannot just pick up an application form and fill it, because the application form tells you what is your name, and therefore you can write your name and that's it. I always say this, all the application forms many a times may look so simple and so easy, but the reality on the ground is that every question, there is a law behind the question. You don't understand the question, you tick any box, that can make you or it can finish you. It can do you or it can damage you. It's up to you to make sure that you make the right decisions. You complete the relevant forms, you do the right applications, and make sure that you succeed. Because anything with immigration and nationality laws of this country, once you make a mistake, once there is an error, it's very, very difficult to come out. It's very, very, very difficult to weasel your way out. And therefore, why wait for the mistake to occur before you seek the advice of a professional? Don't dig hole and put yourself in it before you try to dug yourself up. It's a very dangerous route to take. It's for this reason that every Saturday, we have taken it upon ourselves to come to this radio station and do what? And talk about immigration and nationality law, which we believe that it will help a lot of people to avoid some of these pitfalls that is normally there for people to fall in. But if you do your homework right, I think you'll be fine. So now, when it comes to those refugees who were granted 5 years, Home Office policy as of February 2016 is to do what? Is to review. Safe return reviews. They review your situation, your circumstances, and also they look at the country information as to whether there has been a significant change since the last grant of your stay. So that is the first update that we will give in relation to refugees. We also know that on Tuesday, the House of Lords also had another debate after the first defeat of the government last week in relation to Brexit. In relation to Brexit, there was another vote in the House of Lords. And what was this vote about? This vote, once again, was about Brexit and also an amendment that was tabled by the Labour government or the Labour opposition party. What they said was that any deal that our Prime Minister reach with the European Union must have an approval of the UK Parliament. Now, as we all know, all the major parties have accepted that we have to trigger Article 50. We have to start the formal process of coming out of the European Union. And therefore, for that reason, we ought to do what? We've got to negotiate. European Union say no, you need to trigger Article 50 first before you start negotiation. That is the principle, that is the law. And for that reason, our Prime Minister was of the opinion that in order to get a good deal for Britain, then we cannot make any guarantees. We should not guarantee the rights of European nationals living here. Because if we do that, it will give the European negotiators an upper hand. Because by saying that we are securing European nationals living in this country, that will make the UK case weak. Because what the Prime Minister was proposing was that if you are going to guarantee the rights of EU nationals living in this country, then reciprocally The European citizen or the European Union must also do what guarantee the right of British nationals living in Europe. The case went to House of Lords. The House of Lords, in their wisdom, said that in fact you do not have to wait for the European Union to guarantee the rights of your citizens living in Europe. And hence, we ought to do what guarantee the rights of European citizens living here. The House of Lords were of the view that if we guarantee their rights, then of course, naturally, they will also reciprocate the same thing. So why do you then have to want them to guarantee the rights of your citizens before you do it? You can also do it first. So when the case went to the House of Lords last week, they said that this bill cannot be approved. Instead, the bill must go back to the House of Commons for them to make amendment to the bill by incorporating a provision that all those Europeans who are already here, who are exercising treaty right, their right will be guaranteed under the negotiations. So that particular aspect of the bill has been referred back to the House of Commons for an amendment. Last Tuesday, there was also another one, which it was speculated that the government is going to face defeat once again. And this was in connection to the final negotiations as to whether a must the deal as to whether it must go through parliament, whether parliament must approve it before it becomes a proper deal. Once again, House of Lords, in their wisdom, they voted majority against the government. What they said is that no, any deal that our prime minister makes with Europe, the final deal has to be approved by parliament. Once the deal has been approved, then officially our breakaway of the European Union will go through and perhaps become official. The question that everyone is asking is, what about if our prime minister do a deal, come back to the UK parliament, and they vote against the deal? Does that mean we can simply walk away from the European Union? Or we can't? Some legal brainers in the government department have suggested that if we cannot reach any deal, in fact, the UK can simply walk away. There are other writers and other lawyers, other constitutional writers, as well as big men in the law, also saying that no, you cannot walk away from a treaty without a punishment or without financial consequences. And therefore, by walking away means that there's going to be financial consequences. So many figures have been thrown about. I've heard about £50 billion that Britain will have to cough up before we can come out of the European Union without any too much litigation or without breaking the laws on treaty. So this is the situation. We wait to see what is going to happen. At the moment, Parliament will have a final say. If our Prime Minister goes and do the deals, the House of Lords have made it very clear. Parliament is sovereign. We voted to come out of European Union so that our Parliament will have the sovereign power to make and unmake any law. And for that reason, in order for us to withdraw totally from the European Union, i.e. to reach any deal with the European Union, then of course, if Parliament is supreme, then Parliament have to make the law. This is a principle. And it's very strange that those people, some people who voted to come out, now they are complaining, why is Parliament have to have a say on this? Because Parliament is supreme. Because you voted so that Parliament can have a say about our everything, about our aspects of life. all the laws that came from Europe, we said we don't want it. And if that is the case, and you want Parliament to make and all make laws, then if Parliament is going to have the final say, then I don't think it's appropriate for anyone to complain. But a lot of people are also complaining that we voted to come out, and therefore what is Parliament waiting for? It's the mandate that we have invested in our parliamentarians to make laws for us. You see, this country is parliamentarian system of government. Where you vote for your MP to do what? To protect your interest, to represent your interest in the lawmaking process and decision-making process. So that is how it is. That is what we got to do. So in this case, House of Lords said no. Parliament must have a final say before any deal can be what? Come to an end. So we wait to see what is going to happen in this respect. So this week, these are the major immigration updates that we can offer you. The next one, I think I will also talk about before I go to the naturalization and the registration process, is this primary threshold income. I will mention it and I will say it and I will say it again so that you don't fall foul to the rules. The primary income threshold. This is whereby if individual, especially if you are married to an European national, and the person's job that he's doing is a part-time job, and the person is not earning enough money to overcome or to exceed the primary income threshold, then you could start thinking that there could be a problem for you. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I can see that the Home Office are now refusing a lot of people on the basis of their European partners not earning enough money. It's a very strange concept because Home Office believes that if you've actually come here to work and you are working and you want to support your partner, then of course the job that you will do, you have to be clocking about £8,000 to £12,000 a year, if not more. And therefore Home Office policy, they are using the primary threshold income, the primary income threshold, to do what? To refuse people, because they believe that in a genuine job you should be able to earn at least an income which attracts national insurance contribution as well as tax. Because if they don't see that, and the job is a part-time job and your income is low, your application is bound to fail. So for example, if you are self-employed, you are EEC national, and you are self-employed, and your income is about £5,000 a year, that would not be, basically Home Office will refuse you on the basis of primary income threshold. But if you are doing more work and you are earning about £8,000 to £12,000 a year, you will be treated serious and you will be treated as a family member of a worker or a worker. So we need to watch this out. Because if not, the 5 years will come and basically there will be nothing that a lawyer will be able to do for you. I always say this, if you are doing something that you are not sure, get a professional to do it for you. Many a times you see people, oh, but I'm filing my own accounts, I can do it online, it's very simple. As simple as it may look, as easy as it may sound, I always believe this, if something is not within your field or your area, seek advice, pay the right money, and then get your peace of mind. We see so many people trying it to do their own stuff, and once they hit the rut, this is where they start looking for lawyers. And we've got to know that a lawyer doesn't work 24 hours. And therefore, sometimes it's not very likely that they will be able to take on such cases. Because make sure that you don't cause any damage to your case before you see a lawyer. Once you cause damage to your case, it becomes very, very difficult for the lawyer to fight and win your case for you. So let's try. Let's not think too much about the money, because at some point you're going to lose money. At some point you need to spend in order to get something in return. And therefore, if you have to spend money on a lawyer for the lawyer to do a good job for you, I think you need to be thinking about the end, but not what the means that you are going to use to achieve the ends. Something that we've got to bear in mind. Now let's look at naturalization. Naturalization. And before we do that, we will take one commercial break from one of our sponsors whilst I take a quick break, and we come back, we continue the program.
Welcome to Elegant Chic. At Elegant Chic, we offer spa treatments, beauty treatments, and nail extensions. Our priority is to ensure we provide you with the best in skincare, and therefore, the best result both at the salon and at your home. We aim to provide a professional, warm, and friendly atmosphere. At Elegant Chic, we use Regime products. Come to Elegant Chic for your facial, body, makeup, waxing, eyes, nails, and what have you. Elegant Chic, the place for your skincare, and also the place for all your skin treatments. You can always locate Elegant Chic at 279A Lower Addiscombe Road, Croydon, Surrey. The postcode CR06RE. For telephone, you can also reach Elegant Chic on 0208-656-7711. Once again, 0208-656-7711. You can also reach us by email elegantchic@hotmail.co.uk. Elegant Chic, your number one place for all your skin treatments.
Yo, fellas, sing this song for the one you love.
You don't need to be told off. I'm deep crying, baby. This is a song for my beautiful girls in the world.
Hey, who
are you designing?
Me who watch it?
Now
come here when you swear crack crack crack.
I'm swear crack crack crack. Say say me nyam bari obi ame ba ba wale. Nami here obi obi invitation card ni sa ni mani ma mami.
Oh, say say na wakandi ni o hausa. Enam say nyaku pantom wadi ajumeku bi abe do landing kum ha. Waya sa no mana wakeni ne bi. Na ajumeku edin edi divine imprint. Na eban bibiti say chocolate. Ah yeah yeah wanka sa u photo. Ni adi ato chocolate. Wadi worry. Anasa wadi do birthday swa. Eno papa waya mo ajuma. Wear t-shirts, edema, nyumeku, ene, ankrankre, bibri. Afe, wear ebi biti se polo shirts, invitation cards, caps, yede nom, yeti ibi. And also, se opa se wamfa wamfu njini, ento honen nyane kama kama. And then, ya wade kapu, nankasa, esis wadonswa. And also, wear ebi biti se water bottles, yedu foto, eto hon. Afe, corsets, key holders, ene nyama bibri, aminti mi mubodi. Handbags, kwa ema, yede boy alive, papa ebi. Yemi, oye bi. Na, bakwa, eme, depra, ye, photo, acrylics, oye. And it's obeti do photo as a glass mu ama obi ehu necessary hola e fe keke na obehu yenwen na chira kwan pa de so open one eno an se okọ www.divineimprints.co.uk and as obeti ma fe no e wo telephone number iso 0757717147 e ho se okọ ho a obehwewa ma wo hawa wani abre ho a wudu tripimpim nyina e to atwa enti e firi na kweminia divine imprint e ho a ene e bekro
ene e na me se musu asamba ko na uka bibi fa sa t-shirt ya okay na t-shirt no wa na uto t-shirt na odi akọ ana se divine ya na eto t-shirt ya ma o
me hia ne se obefre divine na e ho akwanchire nyina o de be ma o na nea e de wo mu ne se se wo ye adwumaku a o pese wo hye wo adwuma ase o pese wo set up o business na o pese wo pe obi obeye o website e dia ma wa e no so papa e adwuma kese pa o ye no no na wo hwe ne chi akwan pa ba bia wo be hunu pa de e no an fire life radio udu fire life radio for say ya obehunu papa yi ewo ho
yeah na ebuo ne so
ebuo ne so de eda fo mboko
papa bi
papa bi and feel na ko de divine embrace e ho na e be kro
MC Funka.
MC, any debate.
MC for a Millennium City Estate.
Millennium City Estate?
Millennium City Estate.
Na edia no mu ye onia.
Millennium City Estate eye edumakuo a omusi adan ewo oman Ghana eton.
Oman Ghana ana ongoton edan.
Millennium City juma omoye ewo oman Ghana eye adan si.
Na mi pe and then you be at home. I send the song with the two or one car. I can't be on the first.
Yo, Millennium City Estate. Hey, you know, I almost see a dying 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, or 4 bedroom houses. And I say, oh, a country. And I say, oh, a man on it. Say, be a United Kingdom. And I say, America. And I say, so open some show me chill up. And yeah, you're not quite cry. UK address in here. And your AJP Business Center. Number 152 to number 154 Coast Green Road, London, NW2 7HG, November Whiskey 2 7 Hotel Delta. I'm a telephone with the Juma, 079 084 75802. And also say 0044 33 30 11
7724. Now, ewo branch wa Ghana na.
Omo onkraba tani bi ewo Ghana. Ewo opposite police depot ewo Alajo. Na Alajo soso anase Ghana omo telephone number no eno nie. Eye 00-233-362-22-6251.
Na USA soso e?
USA di eno baby ya. Eye 001-63-62-19 2301.
Now meet me and your omo as so ever WhatsApp and
yes, omo or WhatsApp. Ah, yeah, I bear for video mumuni via mutem ramti mutuni dis and WhatsApp. A year 00-233-27-32-52-599.
Now, send me some share omo echi ewa announcing 10 times or smith me in your omana.
On my chair, pray one announcing 10 times a website, you know, a year www.millenniumcityginh.com.
And she said, me pedai atodia na enwani
Millennium City S.
Yes, we are back again. Today's topic is naturalization and how to obtain British citizenship. It's interesting when it comes to naturalization and how the law is. If you look at the British Nationality Act of 1981, it has so many provisions. It tells us who qualify, who can qualify, and what the requirements are in order to be able to obtain British citizenship. And it's very clear from the law that naturalization or British citizenship is not an entitlement, or it's not something that you can obtain it by right. When I say obtain it by right, what is it? So there are certain things that they are so fundamental that the law or the state deems that it is necessary for individuals to have those things, and those things are the rights. So, for example, you have the right to have a child, you have the right to breathe, you have the right to life, you have the right not to be discriminated against. You have the right to work and earn income. You have the right to go to school. You have the right as a citizen to buy a property in this country. You have the right to do, to form private and family life. You have the right to choose your lifestyle. Those are rights which the state cannot trample upon, which the state cannot take it from you. But if you are here as a foreigner to obtain British nationality, it is not by right. To obtain British nationality is by discretion. So the Secretary of State, before granting you British citizenship, will take into consideration so many factors before they will grant citizenship. The Secretary of State have set out criteria in which the individual applicant have to be able to demonstrate and show that he can satisfy those criteria. If you are an adult, you are married to a British citizen, and you obtain your indefinite leave or settlement, or you are married to someone who has got settlement, or perhaps you came in as a refugee and you have been granted settlement, and you are an adult over the age of 18, then you are looking at section 1 and section 2. Section 1 and section 1-2 of British Nationality Act of 1981. If you are married or you are a civil partner of a British citizen, section 6-2 of the British Nationality Act set out the criteria, and the criteria is as follows, or the requirement is as follows. The first requirement, you have to be age at least 18 or over when you submit your application. So there's an age requirement. You have to be 18 or over before you submit the application. Two, under section 60 of the British Nationality Act of 1981, criteria number two, you have to be married or to be in a civil partnership of a British citizen on the date of the application. You have to be married or you have to be in civil partnership at the date of the application. The third one is that you have to be of a sound mind. You have to be of a sound mind so that you understand the step that you are taking. You have to be of a sound mind at the time of the application. That does not mean if in the past you have had mental challenges or mental health issues, that does not mean you cannot make an application for British citizenship. We need to understand this. Sometimes people go through challenges, but they come out of those challenges. If that is the case, and at the time of the application you are of a sound mind and you understand the steps that you are taking, then of course the Secretary of State have to tick the box for you, because at the time of the application you are of a sound mind and you do what, and you do understand the steps of becoming a citizen, and you understand what you are doing. The next criteria is that you have to be able to communicate in English or Welsh or Scottish Gaelic to an acceptable degree. In this country called the United Kingdom, the main languages are English, Welsh, and Scottish Gaelic. You have to be able to speak one of these languages to an acceptable standard. It's for this reason that you have to do the English test, or perhaps the Welsh test, or perhaps the Scottish Gaelic test, to show your competency in the native language of this country. The next requirement is that you must have sufficient knowledge about life in the UK, and therefore you have to pass the life in the UK test. This is a test that a lot of people are struggling, but unfortunately it's a test that you have to do whatever you need to do to make sure that you pass the test. Means that you need to learn more. These days they have audios that you can listen to. Even when you are sleeping, you are listening to it. Prepare yourself before you can go and sit the exam. From my recollection, it's 25 questions. You need to get a minimum of 18 in order to get a pass. It's achievable. It's doable. People do it. So if you've done it and you have failed the test, do not sit there for 1 minute and say, God, I cannot do this test. It's doable. People are doing it. And even if you do it and you fail, you have to go back and fight again. The next requirement is that the individual must be of a good character. When we say good character, what is it? We will come to it. This is the good character bit that's causing the controversy of late. Because when we say someone is of a good character, what does that mean? If you have a criminal record, it sort of gives you an idea that your character is going to be questioned. If someone is taking you to court for non-payment of his fees or bail, it is going to affect your character. I remember some few days ago, someone is telling me that a lawyer is taking his client to court. The lawyer has done the work. The client doesn't want to pay the lawyer. And the lawyer said, I am not tripping. I've done the work and therefore I deserve to be paid. If you don't pay me, I will take you to court and get what we call county court judgment against your name. The naturalization form, there's a question there. Has there been a county court judgment against you? If the answer is yes, the application could be refused. So if you owe someone money, not only your lawyer, if you owe anyone money and the person is threatening to take you to a county court, take it very serious. Many a times people take things for granted. And then when they do naturalization applications and pay over £1,000 and the application gets refused, the same person will turn around and say that the person that he owed money to, that he hasn't paid, that out of frustration the person has taken him or her to court to obtain a county court judgment, that person is wicked. But he will not look at his wicked deed and the wicked act that brought the litigation from the first place. We ought to watch these things, because when it comes to naturalization, they look at all these things. They will carry out a criminal record check. They will look at your credit score and whether there has been any county court judgments against you. If you have this stain against your character, then when it comes to naturalization, we've got to be prepared that we could be hit with a sucker punch. So we ought to be very, very careful when it comes to these things. Because many a times we take things for granted. So many things that we take for granted. But naturalization, the definition of good character, has been redefined recently. And a lot of people had their applications being refused on the basis of good character. Things that were taken for granted. Things that the Home Office would normally would have waived. But since December 2015, they are not joking no more. No more sympathy. If you are unable to satisfy one of these requirements, they're not going to waste their time. your application will be refused no matter how you want to fight the case. Believe me, you're going to struggle to succeed. So we have to make sure that our character is not questioned. No one can question our character. The next one is whether the individual applicant has lived in the UK for at least 3 years. Someone will say the law has changed. Now, before you can get settlement status as a spouse to a British citizen, you have to complete 5 years. So why is the law still mentioning 3 years? It's mentioning 3 years because, as we all know, before 2012, if you get married to a British citizen, you were granted 2 years probationary period. And after that period, you have to wait 1 year. So that will bring you to 3 years. And after 3 years, you can then apply for naturalization after obtaining your indefinite leave. So after 3 years, individuals were holding what? Their British passports. But unfortunately, the law has changed, and those individuals can no longer simply do what? Obtain British citizenship after 3 years. Now, instead, the rules makes it very clear. You need to obtain indefinite leave before you can apply for citizenship. And therefore, in effect, by default, you have to be here 5 years. So the very day that you get your indefinite leave, those people who have been granted since 2012, the very day that you have obtained your indefinite leave, by operation of the law, you also qualify to apply for your British citizenship. So I always advise people that this is what you got to do. Whilst you are making your application for indefinite leave, you also make preparation towards your British citizenship application or naturalization application. Now, let's look at the residential requirement before we go to the character, the good character test. The law says that you must be physically present in England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, the Isle of Man, or the Channel Islands under 3 years before the application is received by the Home Office. This particular residential requirement is a bit of a joke. Why is it a bit of a joke? Listen to what it says. You have to be physically present in either England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, the Isle of Man, or the Channel Island under 3 years before the application is received by the Home Office. What does this mean? It means if I am submitting my application today, and today's date is what? The 11th of March. I have to make sure that 3 years ago, 11th of March, 2014, I was physically present in the UK. So in effect, if on the 11th of March, 2014, I was in Barbados and I was not physically present in the UK, I do not satisfy the residential requirement, and therefore the application can be refused. We should listen to this very, very carefully. Naturalization is not about just filling forms. This is some of the issues that the Home Office normally raise to refuse people, and people don't understand. I don't understand why my application has been refused. Like I always say, the application forms may look simple enough, but the laws behind the questions and those forms, if you don't know it, you don't know it. So you come to places like Justice and Law Solicitors, you'll be able to look at your history. You'll be able to work it out. Whether going back 3 years on that particular day, the anniversary, whether you were physically present in the United Kingdom. For these purposes, the United Kingdom means England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, the Isle of Man, or the Channel Islands on the 3 years before the application is received by the Home Office. The residential requirement, that's the first criteria. The next one is that you must not have had more than 270 days outside the United Kingdom in the 3 year period before making the application. You must not have had 270 days outside the United Kingdom 3 years before making the application. So once again, if I have had holidays in 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017, it is my obligation, it's my duty to make sure that if you put my holidays together, add it up, it must not be more than 270 days. If it is, the application may be refused. The next one is that you must not have had more than 90 days outside the United Kingdom in the 12 months before the application is submitted to the Home Office. In effect, you must not have spent more than 90 days within the last year of submission of the application. So for example, if I'm going to submit the application today, that is 11th of March 2017, I have to make sure from 10th of March 2016 up to 11th of March 2017, I have not stayed out of this country for more than 90 days. Because if I do, I will not be able to satisfy the residential requirement and the application will be refused. The next one is restrictions. You must be free from immigration time restrictions on the date of the application. So in effect, you must have the right of abroad, indefinite leave to remain, or settlement status before you make an application for naturalization. So in effect, you cannot have a limited leave to make a successful naturalization application. You have to ensure that what? That you have indefinite leave before you make such application. If you don't, such application will be refused. Now, when we talk about the good character, the definition of a good character has been reformed. It has changed. And it means that your character is not questionable. Your character is in no doubt. It's very important. Your character is not questionable. Your character is not questionable in the sense that you haven't done anything that has led to a conviction of criminal offense. You don't owe anyone money and the person hasn't taken you to county court to get a judgment against you. You haven't have or you don't have any caution or reprimand, community sentence, imprisonment. You haven't done anything that will make your staying in this country questionable. Of late, they have also introduced immigration offenders into the list.